Hello, this is Awani Review, and my name is Cynthia Ng. Awani Review is a show where we feature inspiring leaders making an impact in the fields of entrepreneurship and in society. I'm very excited today to welcome my guest, Dato' Shahira Bazari, Trustee and Managing Director of Yayasan Hasanah. Now, Yayasan Hasanah is a foundation established by Khazanah National, Malaysia's Sovereign Wealth Fund. It is great to have you here, Dato' Shahira. Thank you so much for making time to talk to me about some of the work that you guys have been doing.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's really lovely to be here.
I was really looking forward to this discussion because we have seen the importance of NGOs, civil society organizations, you know, foundations like Hasanah, truly stepping up to help the needy during the pandemic. So if I may start with that, Shahira, can you talk to us about some of the work that the foundation is doing? I know it has been an immensely challenging year for everyone. You know, how has it been for the foundation?
Yeah, so we were actually, you know, we were fairly new in the ecosystem, as I'd say. We were set up in July 2015, building on, you know, about 10 years of corporate social responsibility work that Khazanah has been doing. And, you know, around about year five, yeah, the pandemic hit, right? You were asking the question on how we're coping and what we're doing. I mean, the way that I actually look at the last 2 years, I always describe it as obviously a crisis year, a year that require us to take on emergency response. Last year, whole of last year and now well into July 2021, we are still responding to the pandemic, Cynthia. In fact, last year, about 80% of our work was pandemic related. And this year looks to be about 60-70% still responding to the crisis.
With so much happening, so many communities in need, where do you start? Now, how do you determine where to put your energy and your resources? Mm-hmm. I mean, understandably, resources are much more constrained now. Capabilities mm-hmm. stretched. Walk us through some of that decision-making process.
Yeah, so I think around about March last year, when we went into full lockdown, there were a lot of uncertainties, right? People started working from home. We had live projects going on in the communities. We were worried about our civil society partner organizations, you know, how they're doing. At that time, people were trying to understand the SOP, you know, can NGOs go out and check on their communities, how they're doing, and so on and so forth. And I think during that time, we tried as much as we can to be helpful. Obviously, Yayasan Hasanah as a social organization have the capacity and the capability to step up and be, you know, helpful, right? Which is what we did. And one of the first things we did was check in on our partners. We had about 39 to 40 social purpose organization partners, check in on them, how they're doing. And for the first time, we deployed unrestricted funding, small amounts of funding for them, because they were worried about rents, they were worried about paying salaries. They needed funding for, you know, for their own protection, for PPEs, so that their teams can go out and check on the communities. So we said, you know, hey, do whatever you need to do, take care of yourselves, you know, and your communities. So we started off with that, and then around about April, we actually convened the JLC Disaster Relief Network, which is actually a platform that exists. Usually we respond to the floods, right? So during monsoon, JDRN comes together to look at how the GLCs can work together and mobilize our collective assets to help, you know. But this time it was the pandemic, and obviously everybody was working and kind of trying to figure this out for the first time. So what Hasanah, together with TM, who's our secretariat, managed to do is got about 29 companies together. So there were a lot of private companies. And if you remember at that time, there were shortages with PPEs and ventilators. I don't know if you remember. And companies wanted to help, but obviously didn't know. I mean, it's technical, right? Medical equipment and things like that. So we managed to form a partnership with Farmaniaga, and the Ministry of Health to match, to do the matching of demand and what are the needs and requirements. And we had 29 companies funding that initiative to the tune of about 95 million ringgit. And we managed to work with MOH to support about 53 public hospitals in the country at that time with PPEs and so on and so forth. So I think that was the beginning. We never anticipated it to continue till today. We thought, you know, we'll have better days by the end of last year, going into 2021. As you remember, we were all kind of hopeful for the new year. But it is what it is, as you're seeing today. And so our aid and assistance continue. We continue to work with our partners. We are convening GDRN again, because now, as you can imagine, the food aid situation, you know, continuous, jobless. I mean, a lot of people not only have lost their job, but now have even probably depleted their savings. So the need this year seem deeper and more serious. And so we are working together now, getting all of the GLs. I mean, GDRN is a combination of GLCs and private companies to kind of see where we can collaborate and pull our resources together. I mean, I always say we are stronger and bigger together rather than in silo, right? So we're trying to kind of coordinate some of that as well currently.
When you speak with GLCs and corporate entities, what is the conversation? Understandably, businesses are very focused about keeping their businesses afloat, you know, taking care of their employees. I mean, we're talking about giving more money and taking more money from the corporates to help other people. Are they generous as before? No, let us in on the conversations that you have with bosses about helping the needy in a time where they themselves need help.
So that's a good question. And actually, it makes me reflect on those conversations that we had. And I think never, ever in the conversation, any of the companies felt that I've given enough or sorry, I can't help. It's always about how can we help? Tell us what are the assistance that are needed. Can somebody do a needs assessment and analysis? Can somebody coordinate so that, you know, there's no redundancies and overlaps of aid? Come back to us and we're ready to help. And to be very frank, I think GLCs particularly have stepped up and done so much. It's not just their CR funding, but I think as GLCs, they've also been required to, you know, work with government to fulfill certain requirements, whether it's enhancing telecommunication capacities and capabilities. If you remember, a lot of the telcos have been asked to do that, electricity tariff subsidy, you know, so there's been a lot of those kind of structures that companies are doing, but they continue to allocate whatever they can as part of their corporate social responsibility work. But I think what is needed, actually what the companies need, is coordination, right? You know, I mean, I'm sure you are getting a lot of WhatsApp messages, HKL needs, you know, a lot of SOS messages, and then you end up seeing so many aid of the same type going to those entities, right? Because you receive an SOS, you want to help. And so then there becomes a lot of overlaps and so on and so forth. So we're trying to kind of coordinate that.
Now, that's quite interesting, because I wanted to ask you about, you know, has there been any areas or unanticipated shortcomings that we may have underinvested, underhelped during this time of pandemic? Perhaps gaps or problems that may have been overlooked as we focus perhaps too much on one particular area that has generated or received a lot of help already. What is your observation when you go to ground and meet people?
I think, first of all, I wish I could go down to the ground a lot more. That's one of the things that a lot of us in the organization miss. But when we can do that safely, we do. But to answer your question, actually, there has been a lot of, I mean, we started off with medical, obviously, supply, right? Protection, PPEs, helping B40 to be safe and all that. We started with that. And then we moved on fairly quickly to food aid. If you remember, food aid still hasn't stopped. And there are a lot of NGOs that are looking at whether dry or cooked meals or dry, you know, ration, dry food baskets. And also there are some NGOs who are also looking at the nutritional aspect of food aid, right? So it's not just the Maggies and the sardines of the world, but really giving them lots more vegetables. And I'm seeing quite a lot of NGOs doing that. But I think one of the issues that are probably that is probably not being focused on right now is the issue of mental well-being and mental health. We have seen an increase in calls in hotlines, you know, in the various hotline call centers for assistance, domestic violence, you know, child abuse, unfortunately, but also, you know, general mental well-being of people. I think that area is underinvested, or maybe people may not know actually how to help, but it is something that is prevalent and increasing. The stress in society has increased, and it doesn't help when, you know, you've got stress and then you've got the health and safety issue, and then you've got to deal with economic situations, you know. So yeah, so that's one area I think we need to pay a little bit more attention.
Well, that's very true, because, you know, the pandemic has shined a light on a lot of issues that we have perhaps before this we haven't really paid attention to. On that note, I would like to ask about funding, you know, especially I understand that Yayasan Hasanah works with a lot of civil organizations, not just alleviating poverty or food aid. You also invest in education, environment, sustainability efforts. And I imagine those things has probably taken a backseat as you respond to what is needed most, which is the welfare of people. How will this change your focus moving forward for the foundation? If you can share with us the plans in the near future, and how will you be pivoting? What is the focus right now?
Yeah. So I think we always say we have our core work, and then we've got the pandemic related humanitarian response work. And for us in the organization, we have considered ourselves on pandemic response mode. So like I said, last year, 80% of our work was responding. We were working closely with private companies, peer foundations, but also a lot with the Ministry of Finance when they were doing various stimulus packages. And I think the partnership with private sector was important. And I think for the first time, it accelerated, you know, the part between MOF and private sector because of the urgency of aid going down to the ground, and private sector could mobilize fund faster, right? So I think that partnership was useful. And really our core area of work, as you know, we've got five pillars in education, community development, environment, arts, and research and knowledge, and we needed to pivot too. Our core existing grants also had challenges, right? Schools are closed, so they can't really do the school programs. But also, you know, community livelihood program, if the community's priority now is putting food on the table, you can't go and teach them financial literacy and things that are really not relevant to them. So quite a lot of our partners actually were able to pivot and were able to adjust and help their community. In fact, many of our livelihood program where we had women entrepreneurs, you know, typically selling things in shops and little physical locations, have all moved online and doing quite well. In our school program, I mean, obviously we can't reach the students because they're not in school, but we then pivoted to help the teachers, because teachers also needed, in the early days, confidence in online learning, right? It's like, oh my God, you know, how do I even get connected to Teams, whatever. So we had a lot of programs for school leadership. You know, how can we teach online more effectively, and so on and so forth. So for me, I mean, for Hasanah in the organization, 2020-2021 is crisis response mode, right? And we will do whatever we can to support. We continue awarding grants to our, you know, we can't forget our environmental issues and so on and so forth, but we had to adjust and manage our expectations because, you know, we may not be able to meet the KPIs because people are really unable to go out and do any of this work. So we needed to kind of adjust accordingly.
Point about adjusting and pivoting, because I think on a personal level as well, I do feel that the pandemic has forced or rather encouraged us to be more flexible in our plans, you know, to be more effective in mobilizing resources. I wonder if you feel the same, you know, has your leadership style changed or evolved during this pandemic?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, everything you know about leadership also got disrupted, right? And I think one of the things that I've observed and learned, of course, you know, you need to be of value during a crisis. One of the things that we all did was we stepped up. We needed to be solutions oriented. You know, we need to be adaptive and flexible, like you said. And I think one of the value that YH brought to the table or had courage to do was doing something we've never done before, like managing third-party funding for the causes that we do. I mean, we've typically been responding based on our annual budgets, but last year we did four times more what we've done in the last 5 years. And managing the various stimulus packages that was allocated to YH to help distribute to either beneficiaries directly, people in need directly, or to civil society partner organizations. So I think, you know, the ability to be flexible and to understand why, so that we're not too rigid with structures and governance is important. And I think it also helps if you have a good board that supports and understand the need to respond and to be able to be flexible in some of our response. And also, I think one of the things that I've always also tell my team is that, you know, you got to take care of yourself because it's just so many things going on. Imagine with all of the uncertainties, and then work is like five times more with the same number of people.
How do you encourage that? No, working from home, lack of human interaction.
Yeah, it's hard, Cynthia, and it's actually getting to me too, because I really miss my team. And we thought that, oh, okay, you know, maybe we could all get back to work this year, and we haven't. And we've been getting new people coming in. You know, I feel sorry for them because the office is empty. There's no one to welcome them. And they have to get to know their new team members virtually. But I think, you know, and we are all trying to figure this out. We're all trying to kind of take care. Like for me, you know, taking care of, I think from a leadership perspective, is actually very important that you also take care of your people, because they too are going through quite a lot of changes with how things are going. So how can you continue to be supportive of the team and be flexible as well with working from home and, you know, and just dealing with all of the different uncertainties. And I think the other thing, the final thing about leadership test during the crisis is really the ability to balance the head and the heart. Because in our sector, you know, everything is about the heart. We want to do everything. We want to help everybody, you know. But, you know, we need to also balance that with, you know, balancing the head and heart, and making sure that being a bit more structured about it, you know, doing needs assessment, not being too knee-jerk, you know, about requests and things like that. And I think my team has done a fantastic job. And everyone has stepped up. Everyone did so much more than what they were required to do. You know, we hope for better days, you know.
Yeah, we certainly do. If you can share with us, you mentioned that, you know, 60% of the work that the foundation is doing this year will still be on responding to the pandemic. Or what can we expect from Yayasan Hasanah this year? And if, you know, people would like to work with the organization, how can they go about it?
Yeah. So the balance of the next 6 months, we will continue doing the kind of work. So currently, for example, we are supporting the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Education with the distribution and allocation of laptops to be 40 kids. And this is actually a pilot that is funded by JLCs, 150,000 laptops to 150,000 students. And that comes with digital connectivity, proper warranty. So these are good quality laptops that the kids can use for at least 3 years in their education journey. So that has been quite an interesting process and journey in trying to understand how to deploy this in scale. And that's why it's a pilot, so that in the future, if MOE and MOF decides to roll out similar initiative on a larger scale, we've at least got a learning. So we'll continue to do that. We hope to finish that around about September, October. Currently, we are also doing a food aid program under the Pemerkasa initiative, where we are testing a monthly aid on your MyCard.
Right.
And we're working with MyKase on this, where, you know, where we put 100 ringgit for 3 months in about 300,000 people in the urban communities. So tackling the urban community needs through the food aid cash into your MyCard. So we'll continue to do that. That looks to run till about September, October as well. And then we have our Hasana special grant, which will go towards various causes, livelihood, income, food aid, services. And I mean, one of the things we've learned, people with, you know, like National Cancer Society, National Wound Care Society, National Stroke Association, all of these people are having challenges accessing their patients because either they can't come out, they need help with transport, or they don't have money to pay that little upper fees, you know, that comes with it. So the Hasana Special Grant looks into these things, which I think has been very fulfilling for us to see how it's helping people. So we'll continue with the Hasana Special Grant. We have our YH grant. And then I wanted to just do a small plug for something we're doing as part of our knowledge and capacity building. We are launching our inaugural Hasana Forum, Hasana Forum 2021. The theme for that is on from charity to justice. And we've got a great lineup of speakers, both local and international. And really, I think the conversations are looking at, how can we look at the structural issues in the country and in fact, globally as well, right? On social justice, equality issues, right? It shouldn't be charity, right? It should be rights-based justice system. And so there are a lot of conversations in the sector on this, and we just want to bring up those conversations. Maybe it's a good time because, as you know, the pandemic has exposed so many vulnerabilities and maybe it's a good time to renew quite a number of some of our broken systems, whether it's a public health system, or the education system, or the social welfare system, you know. So I think it's a good time to have those conversations. And that's a 17 and 18 November.
Okay.
We've planned it to be virtual, but you know, it'd be nice if we could actually have a physical event. Yeah. But that's
someone's way. Hopefully by then.
Yeah.
Face to face is possible. Now, I was quite interested when you mentioned about, you know, broken system. We talk about, you know, social justice. Perhaps from your experience and looking at how things are done on ground, are we hitting the right spot with policies? Yes, no, right now we are focused on firefighting, you know, pandemic response. But what are we to focus on, to look at immediately, you know, once this is over? Where are the things, where are the areas that needs rebuilding, recovery? I mean, urgent needs, if you can share that with us.
Yeah, I think, first of all, people need to be open to have those conversations, because I think the last year and a half or two would have sufficiently exposed the areas that we need to fix, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't be quite specific about it, but just looking at our areas of work, for example, education in the 21st century, for example, you know, connectivity, broadband and all of these things, are we equipped and are our teachers equipped to take on 21st century kind of learning, teaching, education? for our children. And when the pandemic happened and everyone needed to do online, I mean, all of that learning, if we could capture that, but like I said, people need to be open to have these conversations. They need to be courageous to make those changes, lah, right? So I think I saw a lot of opportunities with taking the opportunity to reset whatever we needed to reset with our education system, for example. I think in our social welfare system, and jobs, gig economy, and all of this, daily wage workers, how do we ensure that the social safety nets is there, because they become really very vulnerable with one shock. And we know moving forward, there will be multiple shocks in society. So how do we prepare our communities and our societies in taking these multiple shocks that is to come for sure? With climate change, we know it's coming. It's already at our doorstep. Nobody anticipated a pandemic, God knows what else is going to come. So I think some of the work that we are doing with the B40 community on building community leadership, how to self-organize, where to go for help, improving education attainment among our communities. All of these are important work that we need to continue doing.
So much to cover, in real life. And also, on this discussion, I wish we had more time, but that's all the time that we have for this episode. Perhaps one day, we can have this conversation in person and at length, and to talk about some of the things that we need to do right now to prepare for a post-pandemic future. Thank you so much, Anato Shahira, for coming on the show to talk to us about the initiatives under Yayasan Hasana. And we wish you all the best with the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Cynthia.
You have been watching Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. We'll see you again in the next episode.